Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 157. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, two hosts.
Chiba.
And John. And together, we are the...
Guardians of the MCU.
Guardians of the MCU!
Yeah, no, we still need to... Yeah, nope.
Okay.
I'm still
awkward.
Yeah, I'm just because I want to show humility to the fans, I'm not going to edit that out. Hopefully we don't lose listeners because of it, though. You know,
I think they would laugh along with us. I was laughing inside.
Yeah, on the inside. Yeah. Folks, just a reminder, we are part of the Random Chatter Network, but don't hold them responsible for our crap. Check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise, which includes cool show logos like the Guardians of the MCU, MCU TV, and other things like DC Talk and Force Chatter and Random Chatter and stuff. Yeah. So this is our second show of the week, our second show of the week, huh? Because the first one was last week. Yeah, you see what I did there. So we have, once again, we're going to feature a discussion and a character profile here. I am going to ask Sheba to go first with her character profile, and then we're going to kind of tackle things from there. Does that sound good to you, Sheba?
It sounds great.
All right. Give it to us. Who do you got?
Right. Today's profile is Shang-Chi. Since Shang-Chi will be coming out soon, and I didn't know much about the character or his story, his background, really anything, I thought it would be nice to kind of go over the very basics and the brief history of the character. So I'm trying to pull a page out of Lizzie's book. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Oh, this is riveting now. I'm excited.
Oh, now I'm worried. All right, so I'm going to tell it in a form of a story. So, long ago, there was an immortal crime lord, a sorcerer named Fu Manchu, which, side note, was based off of very Asian stereotypes. So, he had a child with an unknown American woman, they specified that, who had genetically been picked by Shang-Chi's father and decided to name his child Shang-Chi, which can be interpreted as rising and advancing of the spirit. Hmm. Shang-Chi was taught everything about martial arts and kept in a hidden fortress with little to no contact with his parents. Unfortunately, the boy knew nothing of his father's evil plans, as his father had told him that he was a philanthropist whenever they did speak or whenever he did see his father.
This sounds like an incredibly positive relationship.
Yes, very positive. And not that he was an actual evil crime lord. One day, he was given an assassination job to take care of one of his father's enemies. During this mission, he comes into contact with a British secret agent of MI6, whose name was Agent Smith. Very Matrix.
Yeah, I know Agent Smith from The Matrix. That's okay.
That's what I read, and I was like, am I reading the wrong profile here? No, that's his name. Who reveals to Shang-Chi who his father is and what he's doing and what he does. This leads Shang-Chi down the path to take down his father's entire empire and just destroy everything that he's created.
Is Shang-Chi's real last name Anderson, by chance?
It's very... It could be.
Okay.
The mashup that we never knew we needed. Shang-Chi is a formative martial artist. He's formative in martial arts and is a fighting expert. And he has been known as a living weapon. Though he's a formidable fighter, he is also someone who is very composed and level-headed. He practices meditation and inner cleansing. In addition, he uses chi in combat, but also in controlling his emotions in tense situations, which can allow him to dodge bullets, which I thought was kind of cool.
Inner cleansing, is that like a high fiber diet or what does that actually consist of?
Just being very calm and cool and collected and just being able to control any kind of emotion. So he's not, overly angry or stressed out. He can just calm it down and use that to kind of relax.
Okay. Totally fair.
Some of Shang-Chi's allies are secret agents. Some of these characters, I don't know them very well, but they are characters like Black Jack Tar, Leko Wu, Clive Rustin, and Juliet. And one secret agent, secret agent Smith, he got very close to and thought of him as a surrogate father, because as we know, his father was an evil crime lord. He's also had a couple of romances. So he had one with Leko Wu, who used to actually work for his father. He's also had a romance with Juliet, who is another agent. So you can see the theme of Shang-Chi being a spy. He's very well versed in espionage. Now, I know you must be wondering, well, Sheba, has Shang-Chi worked with any more well-known Marvel characters? And he has. He's worked with Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Fist, Daredevil. He was on a task force actually created by Daredevil to capture the Punisher. And Black Widow was also on said task force. He was also part of a team called Heroes for Hire, which included members such as Iron Fist, Wolverine, Jessica Drew, and that was after she stopped being Spider-Woman for a while, and Black Cat. So there were two versions of Heroes for Hire, and Black Cat, and some of the others were on the second team. The second Heroes for Hire team was convinced to join Iron Man's team during the Civil War, and they were sent after Captain America. And unfortunately, one of the members tried to take out Captain America with some sedative gas, and Shang-Chi helped bring Captain America to safety.
Oh, come on.
Team
Iron Man.
Save Cap.
Team Iron Man.
I think I was Team Cap in the book, in the comics, but I understood Team Iron Man in the movie.
Yeah, I was Team Cap in the comics.
Of course you were.
Sorry. So sorry. another thing. Shang-Chi was also part of the Avengers. That's right. When Cap and Iron Man decided they wanted to make the Avengers stronger, Shang-Chi was at the top of their list, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's a very, very brief, condensed version of Shang-Chi. But you know what else? So is very interesting. Back when the MCU was first starting out and being created, Shang-Chi was actually one of the characters that they included in the pitch. And even before that, Stan Lee wanted to make Shang-Chi a Shang-Chi movie back in the 80s and wanted it to be starring Brandon Lee, who is the son of the legendary Bruce Lee. So there is so much more I can say about Shang-Chi, but I'm going to leave it at that for now. I don't know about everybody else, but I, for one, am very much looking forward to Simu taking on this amazing character and it finally being brought to the big screen. Oh, and I know I didn't talk about the Ten Rings because the movie is Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, but that is a story for another day and time.
Very nice. And I think we should talk about the Ten Rings sometime here in the near future.
Well, I saw it on the list of potential characters, Mandarin / the Ten Rings. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to cover that. I will leave that for another day because there's a lot more to Ten Rings than just a small profile. So I was like, we'll leave that a little later on because that is important to cover, but just there's a lot more to it.
So I have a question for you. So in this, you didn't mention the name of Shang-Chi's father.
Did I know? I did. I wrote it down though.
You did. So you mentioned Fu Manchu being the sorcerer who basically created him. And Fu Manchu then fundamentally is a Sith Lord.
Right.
That's basically what comes of that there. So in the movie, it appears that the Mandarin, the real Mandarin, finally, is the father of Shang-Chi. Is that the same in the comics?
No, because they didn't mention the Mandarin at all when I was looking up all of his profile stuff. That's why it didn't get covered in the profile, because when I looked it up, the sorcerer Fu Manchu was actually his father, and they didn't mention anything about the Mandarin, which when I saw Fu Manchu, I was like, is that name itself? I don't know if that is kind of considered racist, because the character itself was based off of racist stereotypes. So maybe that's why they, and eventually in the comics, they eventually ended up removing Fu Manchu from the storyline completely because of that reason. And then they kind of put a lot of Shang-Chi's storylines on hold because a lot of them were related to his father. So they had to bring him back afterwards, unrelated to Fu Manchu. So that could be why in the movie they're not bringing him back, because technically in the comics they kind of wanted to disassociate from that character.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know, it's good to see an evolution of sorts, you know, happen with this, and kind of recognizing some of this, the mistakes that they've made and then trying to correct those. And there was the one special on Disney Plus. I don't remember the name of it. It was the something about heroes or Under the Mask.
Right.
Something like that.
What was the
Behind the Mask?
Behind the Mask? Yeah, it was the one, and they talked about like a lot of the different racial and cultural things and the evolutions of a lot of characters, and you know, all in all, Marvel was pretty humble in that and very open about the mistakes that they made. You know, kind of falling in with a lot of different cultural stereotypes. So yeah. And speaking of
that does come in a lot with not having, you know, at the beginning, not having a lot of, you know, people of color from those backgrounds writing those characters.
Exactly.
Which I know that you were going to bring into the discussion. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of stereotypes, Simu Liu was interviewed and talked a lot about Asian stereotypes in the movie in Shang-Chi. And of course, you know, the challenge here is that they're drawing on source material that was written by two white men in the 70s at the height of the whole Kung Fu craze. When, you know, we had all sorts of movies, you know, all these Kung Fu movies and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really big thing. He said that they apparently weren't real shy about kind of pulling out whatever wasn't going to work, whatever things might have been stereotypical, that kind of thing to really, you know, not make it ridiculous. And they wanted a story that still yet celebrated Asian culture in all these different dimensions and facets and nuances of it, as well as the martial arts. So, you know, trying to maintain that balance, I imagine, was a challenge for them, you know, wanting to still stick to the essence of the character and still be able to celebrate this, all these different facets of the character and the martial arts and all that kind of thing without making it cheesy, without making it stereotypical. And so Simu Liu says, I grew up loving Jackie Chan and Jet Li and certainly Bruce Lee. But as I got older, I started to question, is that all we have in terms of just seeing them in movies and doing martial arts? And yeah, it was amazing. But like, that was it. It was very two dimensional for a lot of these characters. Is that all the world sees in us? Is this the only value that we have, particularly in the entertainment industry? Something that was brought up to me last night by Eric when we were doing a Random Chatter review show. There is a new show on Netflix. It's a documentary. It is called Iron Fists and Kung Fu Kicks. I've not yet watched it. It is now on my reading list, and it is fundamentally apparently all about this. It is about that Kung Fu craze and the evolution of these characters and Asian actors and that kind of stuff in the entertainment industry, and how a lot of this was obviously created and controlled by white folks, and, you know, kind of getting this to a point where Asian people are, you know, now have the agency of these characters. And they're really kind of controlling the direction of it all. John, what kind of thoughts do you have on this whole thing?
It kind of touches back to what we talked about last week. I mean, and it is hard because 1970s kung fu pop culture was pretty much the definition of kind of stereotypical.
Yeah.
And I would say that that bled into the 80s and the 90s in shows and movies, you know, we watched. And so to it is that fine line between taking the source material and honoring it, but also updating it. And I think in most cases, and it, that is true for, and we, this is where it touches back to where we talked about some of the, you know, whether it be gender swapping, race swapping of certain characters, Marvel's done a kind of a great walk with that. And I think with Shang-Chi, it to me is a little bit easier because he's not a super well-known character.
Right.
And so they can make deviations and it's not going to upset as many Marvel fans as if they... Using the examples Tim and I used last week, if they changed Wolverine or Doctor Doom, both characters we said, you know, with degrees we were okay having some changes made to very well known characters. Most people know some of their background. I trust what they're going to do with it. You know, again, this is one of those movies where I'm intrigued. I'm still struggling between Shang-Chi and Iron Fist and the major differences between the two. And that's
Iron Fist is a white man, and Shang-Chi is not.
Well, besides that,
big difference.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, and I'm glad. And in our last episode, we talked that he's not going to just be, it's not just going to be martial arts. And I loved the teaser with it. So I hope they can just they can make him moving the character beyond. You know, beyond that. And I do think to a degree, now that Tim, you mentioned it, even though, as Sheba, you just pointed out, he was a white man, I think the Netflix Iron Fist show delved and stuck too much to that almost 70s-esque kung fu trope.
Yeah.
So hopefully they've learned some lessons from that.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that. I mean, I guess because a lot of the people involved in creating the movie, they're Asian, they would know what would be more stereotypical and what things might be interpreted in a stereotypical or might be specific tropes, and will remove it from the source material, like Tim said. And I totally agree with what Simu was saying about, you know, seeing... recognizing that a lot of the actors and people that we saw, Asians we saw in entertainment, a lot of them, at least back in the day, they were all martial artists. And I know that that is a similar thing that I know as a teacher I talk about with my students, specifically in the Black community, because a lot of people will end up just talking about things like, oh, well, you can be a sports star, you can be a rapper or a musician. And forget that kids can actually be, or anybody can be anything. And so that representation in entertainment, being able to see Asians in all communities and people of color in all different areas, helps reinforce that. Like, yeah, no, you can't, you don't have to just be a martial artist. You don't have to just be smart in math kind of thing. You can be anything. We're not just in little small boxes, like mm-hmm. not all South Asians are doctors and engineers, even though there are quite a lot of them that are, but not everybody is kind of thing. So it's trying to break down those stereotypes and being able to remind people that, no, you know, we're not just one-dimensional characters, just like everybody else. Asians are fully dimensional, have different dimensions, have different personalities, can be different, have different careers, and can be anything they want to be. And having that representation in entertainment helps to reinforce that.
Yeah, I agree. It's it's still, I very much hope that they had a lot of people there behind the camera mm-hmm. to really help kind of maintain this proper balance mm-hmm. of still celebrating and respectfully portraying these different elements of Asian culture yeah. without it being stereotypical. Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, probably had some challenges associated with it. And, you know, I mean, he mentions in this interview, actors like Jackie Chan and Jet Li and Bruce Lee, who were absolutely incredible. I mean, they're
yeah.
iconic. They're badasses.
Yeah.
But in so many cases, it really, especially Bruce Lee, like mm-hmm. that's all they did. They were yeah. solely there to be these martial artists, but they weren't developed characters. We've seen, you know, Jackie Chan do a lot more than that. And, it, you know, mm-hmm. turns out the guy has phenomenal comedic timing.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's done serious movies too. And mm-hmm. fantastic. Literally anything I see Jackie Chan in, I absolutely love, you know, even if it's like, you know, a movie that not everybody else loved, I always love his portrayal in everything that he's done.
Yeah.
And I could be very biased because I love Jackie Chan, but I've loved his serious stuff. I've loved his stuff that he's done that's funny. I've loved the stuff that he's done, like, you know, all the stuff that involves physical, you know, physical comedy and just, you know, sometimes it does involve the martial arts. But I've enjoyed every single thing that he's been in. And he does have a lot of range. And it's nice that he's being able to show those, that yeah. show that range.
And Jet Li, you know, certainly is showing some range. I think in a lot of cases, he's still kind of the action hero in a lot of his stuff. But, you know, with a little bit more depth than Bruce Lee did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm hoping that they continue to explore more of this. I mean, there was a, and I'm sure I'm going to get the numbers wrong. And John, you probably saw this just because it mentioned The Rock. And anything that mentions The Rock, you've seen. There was a thing out that maybe a couple weeks ago that it was like this study of the percentage of films that had lead Asian actors. Mm. And it was an incredibly low percentage. But yeah. then like 40% of those were led by The Rock.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. And, yeah. and, you know, hey, I like Dwayne Johnson, not as much as John does. We're going to, you know, set aside a little bit of time for reverence later, John, don't worry. you know, and I think he's really good. I mean, he's great mm-hmm. in action. He has great comedic timing. He can do so much. But there's a ton of other great Asian actors and actresses out there. And it's a shame that they're not being more prominent. But I do think, to the credit of quote Hollywood, if you will, that over the last few years, probably maybe the last 6 or 8 years, we have seen more of a considerable percentage compared to, you know, previous decades. So, you know, we are seeing some improvements. We have to see more improvement, but we have to start somewhere. And I think we're moving in a good positive direction with it.
And it helps, again, it helps when you have people behind the scenes who are, you know, people of color, and kind of providing that those opportunities for people to have them on, to have actors and actresses on screen for that representation. Because I think otherwise, in the default is, like, I don't know about anybody else. I know growing up, whenever I read a book or any kind of, you know, anything, my default was set to white. That's unless you described the skin color, hair color, I would just automatically assumed, you know, it was a white person.
Sure.
It was not until later when people would describe characters in books and they were like, they had curly hair. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Curly hair. I have that. Like, and, yep. You know, describe skin color where I could imagine the character as being something else, but default, just because, and I am South Asian, so my default technically should be South Asian, but it's not. And I've heard this from a lot of other people of color, that because they're so used to seeing people on screen that are, you know, default white, that's automatically what the character is in books. If you don't describe it, that's where a lot of us automatically will, and I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, a lot of us will just automatically default to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, and I mean, it's an unfortunate side effect of kind of that the overwhelming lack of representation, mm-hmm. that there is that's out there. So, but yeah, you know, hopefully we are seeing some improvement. We are definitely seeing some increased diversification across the MCU. Mm-hmm. And I mean, gosh, just in this next year, you know, with, yeah. The films and such that are coming out, there's going to be a ton. Mm-hmm. There really is. So it's great.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the movies, Disney Plus, it is very much demonstrated how much they are keeping to that.
Yeah. And they have to make a conscious commitment to it. It's so easy that, oh, hey, you know what? We're looking for, you know, an actor to fill a certain role, mm-hmm. you know, or they want to bring, like we talked about last week, they want to bring a comic book character to life in the MCU. Well, mm-hmm. when most of the characters, because most of them were developed in the 70s, when most mm-hmm. of them are white men, really, you mm-hmm. probably don't have to stick with it. Mm-hmm. You know, change it up a little bit. Look at the incredible slate of actors mm-hmm. and actresses mm-hmm. that are out there. And there's so many really good ones that they haven't engaged yet. And it's, you know, we look at something like Eternals, and I think one awesome thing about Eternals is that they're bringing a lot of star power with it, mm-hmm. which I think is intentional, because they know that not a lot of people know who mm-hmm. the Eternals are, mm-hmm. And they need to, you know, that's their box office draw, mm-hmm. You know, but in a lot of the other movies, they'll give like one strong lead character, and then after that, they really break things up pretty well. And I think we're going to continue seeing that. But even with Eternals, you know, it's a fairly diverse cast there too.
Yep.
So they've done a good job with that.
Yeah. And kind of a final note on this: even there was a recent article, and it dug up an interview with Stan Lee, who even admitted the original lineup and powers of the original X-Men don't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, so you had, I'm counting four plus Xavier, five, you know, white men and women, and both like their power combinations and all of that. And again, from that time, the original X-Men, one of the most iconic teams, I would say on par with like the original Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. not necessary.
Yeah.
And certainly, and what I hope, and we, again, we kind of talked about this before, is I hope they don't look at something like the second run at the Fantastic Four, where they did at least some changes, especially with Michael B. Jordan, you know, in there and say, oh, well, we can't do that. And that was, you know,
right.
Use that as an example. No, it didn't work. Not because the actors and actresses, because it was a freaking horribly written movie.
Exactly.
Exactly. I was so on board. I was like, you know what? That's fine. There are siblings that, you know, one kid is black, one kid is white. That's totally normal. There's nothing. I didn't bat an eyelash. Like, I didn't bat an eye at that point. Was the problem was the writing and directing. And I was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
Why?
So, I mean, we've certainly talked about it. I think, again, with Shang-Chi, the Eternals, Ms. Marvel, you know, then leading into Captain Marvel, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, we have some great opportunities and they're going to continue to do this. And, you know, again, it's, I'd love my kids watching it and seeing it, and that these movies reflect the world they live in, and that their friends see characters that look like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to be normalized.
Yep.
And you know, we're making strides, but we have a way to go before it does get normalized. So with that, Sheba, thank you very much for doing the character profile this week. Hopefully everyone learned a bit about Shang-Chi. I know that I did. And looking forward even more to the film. So, folks, with that, we will catch you next week with two more episodes of Guardians of the MCU. Also, MCU TV this week. Loki.
That's true.
Don't miss out on that, folks. We'll see you then. Thanks a lot. Take care.